For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. Greetings, my friends. Welcome back to the broadcast. I'm Sean, your host. The website is www.scriptureandprophecy.com. And that's where you go to find the archives and to check out the most recent devotionals. I just wrote one about the suffering saints and persecution. If you're interested, you can go to the website and read it there. I've also posted links to it through the email list and through Facebook. And, you know, what's interesting is this morning, the psalm that we're going to be reading, Psalm 27, is about not being afraid, about trusting in the Lord and waiting on the Lord and not being afraid. And, you know, if you read my article, I talked about how, you know, if you can read the headlines and look at what's going on and look at history and contrast all that together, and you can kind of see down the road of where all this is headed, and it's not headed anywhere good. But we are not to be a people of fear. We are to trust in the Lord. So Psalm 27, I think, is going to encourage us in that this morning. And so we're going to read Psalm 27, Proverbs 27, and then we should have time. And I'll also read the devotional for this morning from the Morning and Evening Book by Charles Spurgeon, because I still need to read that this morning. So that is the plan. I want to thank all of you for your support. Thank you for tuning in. And I pray this morning that this blesses you in the name of Jesus. Let's begin. Psalm 27, King James Bible, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall my enemy's head be lifted up above mine enemies. Round about me, therefore, will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help, leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are rising up against me, and such as breath out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Well, there's Psalm 27. Man, there's so much goodness in here. We should all be praying, teach me thy path. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in the plain path. David says, I would have fainted if it wasn't for the fact that I believe that I would see goodness the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Man, maybe we need to believe in that. Maybe if we see all this corruption and evil going on around us, it can be very disheartening, very depressing. Maybe we need to believe that we will once again see the goodness of the Lord in the land. Wait on the Lord, it says. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. David said, there's one thing I've desired that I'm going to chase after, I'm going to seek after, and that is to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. It's a great psalm. So much there that we could spend a lot of time just dwelling on, thinking on, praying on. Trusting in the Lord. David's talking about how his enemies are plotting things against him, but he's not going to be afraid, because he believes that God will hide him. He says, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, and in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Oh, that we would have that kind of faith, and we would have that kind of trust. Let's move forward to Proverbs 27, King James Bible, verse 1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Let another man praise thee, and not thy own mouth, a stranger, and not thy own lips. A stone is heavy, and the sand is weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. Wrath is cruel, and anger is outrageous. But who is able to stand before envy? Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the words of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. The fool's soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. As a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by heartily counsel. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not, neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity. For better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far off. My son, be wise, and make my heart glad, that I might answer him that reproach me. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. That verse right there, it's always stuck out to me over the years, because I think about those who can see what's, I just mentioned that if you contrast history with the things we're seeing in the headlines, you can see down the line, you can see down the road, and you know that evil is coming, right? But most are simple, like the scriptures say, and they don't foresee it. They're going to be caught off guard by it. It says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Verse 13, take his garment that is surety for a stranger, and take a pledge of him for a strange woman. He that blesseth his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it shall be counted a curse to him. A continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Whosoever hideth the wind, and the ointment of his right hand, which bewrayeth itself. Iron sharpen iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof, so he that waiteth on his master shall be honored. I want to look at that verse real quick. Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. In other words, if you're attending to it, you know, if you have a fruit tree in your yard and you're pruning it and you're taking care of it, you're attending to it, you're paying attention, your reward is going to be the tree is going to bear fruit for you to eat, right? Because you're tending to it. You're paying attention to it. You're keeping care of it. You're going to be blessed with the fruit. This is saying, whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So he that waiteth on his master shall be honored. Those of us who are waiting for his return, who are trying to do his work while there's still daylight, and watching for his return every day, and taking the scriptures seriously that say he's coming at a time that you think not. Be prepared, be ready, be watching. You know, the scriptures say there's going to be a crown for those who delight in his return. So he that waiteth on his master shall be honored. Those of you who are waiting and watching and paying attention, you're going to be honored. Because you've taken the time to tend to the most important thing, and that is to keep your eyes on Jesus. Verse 19. As in water face answereth to face, so the heart of a man to a man. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of a man are never satisfied. And isn't that true? We have to be careful about this. The eyes of a man are never satisfied. And it's true. We're always lusting after materials, or lusting after the flesh, or, you know, there's always things coming across the eyes, and it's like we can't get enough. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of a man are never satisfied. Verse 21, as the fining pot for silver and the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. Though thou should bray a fool in a mortar among wheat with a pestle, yet will not his foolishness depart from him. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds. For riches are not forever, and doth the crown endure to every generation? The hay appeareth, and the tender grass showeth itself. The herbs of the mountains are gathered. The lambs are for thy clothing, and the goats are the price of the field. And thou shalt have goat's milk enough for thy food, for the food of thy household, and for the maintenance for thy maidens. And that is the Psalms and Proverbs for this week. Chapter 27, I pray in the powerful name of Jesus that it's been an encouragement, that it's been a blessing to you this morning. Well, we have a few minutes of time left. I'm going to read this morning and evening devotional, the morning portion for today, which is, I believe we're on April 1st, are we not? Let's have a look here. And I'll just read this aloud with all of you. And may we all be blessed by this devotional this morning. The verse that sets the stage is, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 2. Here's what he writes. For several days we have been dwelling upon the Savior's passion, and for some little time to come we shall linger there. In beginning a new month, let us seek the same desires after our Lord as those which glowed in the heart of the elect spouse. See how she leaps at once to him. There are no prefatory words. She does not even mention his name. She is in the heart of her theme at once, for she speaks of him who was the only him in the world to her. How bold is her love! It was much condescension which permitted the weeping penitent to anoint his feet with spikenard. It was rich love which allowed the gentle Mary to sit at his feet and learn of him But her love, strong, fervent love, aspires to higher tokens of regard and closer signs of fellowship. Esther trembled in the presence of Ahasuerus, but the spouse in joyful liberty of perfect love knows no fear. If we have received the same free spirit, we also may ask the like. By kisses we suppose to be intended those varied manifestations of affection by which the believer is made to enjoy the love of Jesus. The kiss of reconciliation we enjoyed at our conversion, and it was sweet as honey dropping from the comb. The kiss of acceptance is still warm on our brow as we that he hath accepted our persons and our works through rich grace. The kiss of daily present communion is that which we pant after to be repeated day after day till it is changed into the kiss of reception, which removes the soul from the earth, and the kiss of consummation, which fills it with the joy of heaven. Faith is our walk, but fellowship sensibly felt is our rest. Faith is the road, but communion with Jesus is the well from which the pilgrim drinks. O lover of our souls, be not strange to us. Let the lips of thy blessing meet the lips of our asking. Let the lips of thy fullness touch the lips of our need, and straightway the kiss will be effected. And that is the April 1st devotional from the book Morning and Evening by Charles Spurgeon. And I highly recommend this book. Not all the devotionals are going to touch you in a special way, but there's been many mornings and many evenings I've read it. And it's been a great blessing to me. I still have a couple more minutes, so I would like to read the devotional I wrote and sent out this Sunday. I just want to read it to you guys since we kind of talked about it at the beginning of the episode. It's only a couple paragraphs. Let me read what I wrote to you. And then contrast that with what we read out of the Psalms today. So even though we see this trouble coming, let us not fear. Let us believe and trust that the Lord will hide us and set us up upon a rock. Here's what I wrote, starting with a Bible verse, John 15, which says, this is when Jesus said, "If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own, but because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And if they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also." John 15, 18 through 20. Here's what I wrote. The word persecution has been on my mind and in my spirit a lot this week. Not a word I really want to think about, but as I read this week's headlines and as I read the scriptures, I can't help but dwell on it. There has been a large and growing hostility towards the followers of Christ over the past several years. Even here in America, we see this hostility, this hatred, increasing at a very alarming rate. As I look down the road and I contrast it with history and the direction our nation is going, I can't help but shudder for my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. As Christians here in the Western world, we've had it pretty good for a very long time, and most believers here in America couldn't imagine God allowing us to face persecution or tribulation, but that's just not biblical. In fact, the Bible tells us that if we are truly following Jesus, truly walking upright, then we will without a doubt suffer persecution. Paul told us that it's through much tribulation that we enter into the kingdom of God. He made this statement shortly after being nearly stoned to death for preaching the gospel of Jesus. In Acts chapter 14, verse 22. Consider the following scripture. "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." 2 Timothy 3:12. Notice the word "all." All means all. All who desire to live godly will suffer persecution. It doesn't mean some, it means all. Now there may be millions of Christians who never see any form of persecution for their faith, but then the question is, are they truly living godly in Christ? Jesus said the world hated him, therefore the world will also hate you. While I don't desire to suffer persecutions or tribulations, I have to acknowledge it is part of what it means to be a child of God. We are heirs to the coming kingdom, and the enemy is going to do everything he can to hinder the promises of God and cause us to lose faith. However, the scriptures say those who persevere to the end will be saved, Matthew 24:13. Regardless of what you're facing, remain strong, remain faithful. His promises are true, and he will bring them to pass. You will be rewarded, and you will be joint inheritors with Christ if you're willing to suffer with him. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Romans 8:16-17. And there you have it. There's a devotional. Remember, regardless of what you're facing, what struggles are coming up against you, what kind of persecution's coming up against you, what kind of spiritual opposition you're getting, his promises are true, and he will bring them to pass. We just need to trust in him and wait on the Lord. That is the podcast for this morning. I pray in the powerful name of Jesus that you've been blessed. Don't forget about the website, scriptureandprophecy.com. Peace and grace be with all of you, and until next time, God bless.